especially with the advancement in technology. And the fact that the GMR or the department doesn't have presence also at the ports. But as government, closer collaboration is important to ensure that we can have quality assurance mechanisms for minerals that are destined for export as a way of addressing the challenges of base erosion and profit shifting. Because this matter will not be solved by one government entity alone. It requires the collaboration. And we really encourage also that there is a consideration of bringing in some of the companies that are affected or that have got particular experiences with regard to value leakage or base erosion in this regard, so that they can better empower the committee in formulation of the recommendation or a way forward in this regard. The other question related to transfer pricing and the actions that have been taken against companies that have found or identified or figured to have participated or engaged in activities that result in value leakage. Maybe in the presentation earlier, we may have conveyed a different message other than the one intended, where it's almost like we are being apologetic about our stance on discouraging and dealing with companies that encourage base erosion. And if it came through like that, that was not the intention. What we're emphasizing is that we continue to remind companies that there are laws in this country, and those companies that are found to have broken the laws will be dealt with harshly, as the laws do empower and compel. Hence the report that we presented earlier on by SARS and others. There is no negotiation that will be entered into. So it's not a sloganary, honorable members. And I will also remind the honorable members of a statement that was also issued by our minister pertaining to the seriousness with which we take illicit outflows and the base erosion matters, and that if companies are found to be engaging in this, the law would take its course, so there will be investigations that will be conducted in that regard. The other question related specifically to Lonmin, and I will link this one up with the general challenge or problem that we have with regard to this area of base erosion and transfer mispricing. That it really requires a collective effort of various stakeholders, other sector department working together with the other agencies in tackling this challenge. It's not something that we can resolve as a department alone. It requires us to continue to work very close with the other agencies. Hence, earlier on, we were talking about the MOU that we want to formalize with SARS, among others. Because at the moment, we exchange information from time to time, as and when cases of under-invoicing, etc., are identified, so that we can address the challenges that we're having. I would ask my colleague, Mr. Men, just to explain a bit on the transfer pricing, how it manifests, and I'll wrap up with regard to the loan.
Just hold on a minute. You can see the chair is just the seat.
Frank, can you help with Frank? The matter that Tandy is assistance with. Okay. Have you done?
I wanted to.
Sorry, yeah, Tommy, can you raise it with Frank here? Where is Frank?
Okay. I don't see sorry.
I wanted to also ask my colleague, Mr. Mann, a director of beneficiation, just make a short input also on transfer pricing as a way of assisting the committee.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of how transfer pricing can take place, as the DDG has emphasized, it's a very complicated problem. And it's something that we would have to tackle both as the DMR and other sector departments. But in terms of the other avenues that might be used for transfer pricing, the most common one used is to use consultancy fees, where you might have a company listed in South Africa and its other sister company, if I may use the term, is listed in another country, for example, the headquarters. And they use consultants, the consultants from the headquarters come into South Africa, do consultants who work for this company. They overcharge the company, and then those funds are shifted outside the country as expenses. So, and also the marketing arms. It need not happen between two related companies, as it was alluded to earlier, through the advanced import payment. It can happen between two unrelated companies where you will have transfer price. Thanks.
With regard to zoning, in particular, and flowing from the Falun Commission, yes, on our side, the DMR action was taken as part of our ongoing monitoring and enforcement of compliance. And that continues to be monitored from a perspective of implementation. Lonmin, together with other companies that are involved in the extractive industries, clearly the matter that we need to follow up is the one that relates to the transfer pricing flowing from the Falun Commission, and that would need to take that one up, because it's not a matter that falls squarely within our area, but require government as a collective to have to handle. But what we want to emphasize is that there is no tolerance for behaviors by companies that lead to base erosion or undermining the laws of the country. It's a matter that would continue to require the collaboration of various government agencies. And the marching orders given earlier on here pertaining to us as government agencies to work together can only strengthen the coordinated approach in addressing this challenge of transfer pricing or base erosion or BEPS. It's not an easy matter, but it requires the collective and the resolve. Thank you.
Okay. Bongani?
Maybe, Chairperson, this is going to be a general question to all the stakeholders here. Because, you know, the matter of collaboration, we raised it 2 years or 3 years ago. We said when it was raised here, when we started this process, we said there should be an intergovernmental structure that deals with this particular matter, and all affected departments and agencies should coordinate that matter. And today, it's even reported that the China is collaboration. I don't understand this thing. You know, because it's a future tense. I'm not sure when are we going to have what must happen now.
I think you're right, Bokai. Okay, right. Now, we have to move on to the SAPS, right? We're running out of time. Also, you must remember we've got a vote on the DORA bill. I think the debate is 94 minutes. So, is the House started at 2 o'clock today? 3. So, the debate will be at 4:30. We've got another commitment with some World Bank people who are here. I want to talk about that. And the Finance Committee needs 5 minutes. There's no other day. We're meeting on Friday morning, but we have to take decisions this afternoon, the committee secretariat and myself. Now, Comrade Joan had a few questions. Let her raise them. She had to go into another committee meeting and so on. And then we will ask the SAPS to respond and then draw to a close. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. It is to address minerals per se, but perhaps not only minerals, but also it would be National Treasury and Saab. What often I've been concerned with since transfer pricing has come up in the committee is those who do serious mining here, significant mining with a lot of income, etc., and high employment, why shouldn't they be persuaded, perhaps through regulation, to have their primary listing here? Because if their primary listing was here, we would in fact overcome quite a lot of the transfer pricing issues that currently occur. That's one thing. The other issue is that of course they can have secondary listings elsewhere, is that transfer pricing is not simply an issue that is a loss to SARS and, of course, finally then the income of government. But it is also a political issue. It's an economic issue as well. Because, yes, if companies are transferring funds out of the country through illicit channels or flows, etc., then it does mean there's less for the wage base itself, for the remuneration, and then there's less for local investment. So the more that goes out in these illicit financial flows, it leaves less in the country. And with respect to the South African Reserve Bank, perhaps we do, from time to time, have to review these exchange control regulations and work, as some colleagues say, Chairperson, try and work closer together so that you don't find that you're out of step with an agency with whom you should be having very close relationships with. And this has gone on for more than 15 years, and it's got to stop. Thank you.
Any responses to Comrade Joan beyond what we've done already? Or you're noting it, right? You'll come back at the end. Okay. Having said that, can we have the SAPS?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to start off to say that I've spoken with our fellow stakeholders, FIC, and I will engage staff to get know what the cases they refer so that we can have a proper response. Further to that, Chair, I must just put this into context. As a DPCI, we ordinarily would sit in on various committees merely from a observer status where we take note of what is said and discussed, because there are things that are being discussed that either has a direct or indirect impact on the mandate of the office, and we will take it up either through investigation or we engage with the different role players. And my presence today was exactly that, is to observe and to take note what we have been informed by SAPS that they were also in attendance and we thought they would be in attendance. But I was not prepared to do any presentation of any sort to the committee today. I've taken the questions, I went out and I've engaged with my officers. Now, as it is, cases are being dealt with in a very sensitive manner in our office. And I engaged them and they had to, because now we are coming to Parliament. And whatever I may say to Parliament ultimately reflects on the head of the DPCI. And we were trying to engage the head, but unfortunately the head is busy. And I could not get hold of the head to get his blessings to come and say anything that had an impact on the DPCI here. Which leaves me with no other recourse to say that because it's office policy, and I cannot breach that, to come and speak on the issues relating to the Hawks without the mandate from my office head. I can unfortunately not respond to the questions that were put here, but I would gladly take, I've recorded it and take it back to the office and have everything being responded to either in writing or, if need be, the forum can, the committee can then call our office with whom we would then be appreciated by the head, and I think they must give a full response to that.
Response, please.
Responses? Nobody. Okay. Sifiso, Semenya, and Tali.
Thanks, Chair. I think one cannot help but empathize with the Hawks. The paramilitary structure works in a very funny way. So I think there are questions which the members have put in front of the Hawks, and the members need answers. But I would close the situation where we get half-baked responses to our questions, since the member, the officer involved is saying, look, I don't have all the information now. But they should not be seen as a way of them, for a lack of a better word, getting off the hook. We want to have those answers, and I think whether they're written or we get his his commanders to come and address us on these very important issues, because they're a very important cog in this whole value chain. But for us to try and try to squeeze some information out of him, I don't think it will progress this discussion. Thank you. So I'll say, Chair, let's allow the process where he'll go back and consult with his superiors, and then they come back with proper answers.
Mr. Mania, then Tony.
Chair, I mean, I understand. I mean, the representative from SAPS has explained his position and has explained the brief that he got, and there's nothing that we can do about that. But I do think that as chairs, we should ask you to investigate how it is that this situation arose, because something has clearly got lost in translation. But what we need then is a guarantee that in 2 weeks' time we will get a full briefing, not once again on the strategy or the processes, on the outcomes. And if you just bear in mind that Saab also has an outstanding equipment.
Chair, I will not belabor the point because I don't have vested interest in specific questions that were asked. I had vested interest in the principle of what we were dealing, the gist of the matter that was before us. So on matters that affect David, that I have, area specifics, it's for him to pursue them. Mine remains on what we want. We want to know the action of the South African Police Service on cases forwarded to them to investigate. It's a different matter altogether. It doesn't relate to what David wanted to have now. David needed a right of reply because he had the information that he had, but we want information. And I made an example. For argument's sake, there were 31 cases that were forwarded to them. Only one was successfully prosecuted. And that defeats the intention of what we're doing here. Because it means that it doesn't matter the work that SARS, FIC, SAP will do if the South African Police Service does not act on that information. What we are trying to curb will not help. It means we'll not generate income that we need to generate, will not also deal with criminal activities and illegalities that are in place. I'm not even speaking about base erosion. I'm talking about illicit inflows and outflows. And having listened to the NPA, there's money in billions that is projected. I mean, if you can look at the difference it will make in the fiscal, we'll not be scratching our hands here as to how we'll fund infrastructure programs or how we'll establish a state-owned bank or how we'll establish corporate banks. It's money that we will know will address those very same issues that deals with poverty, unemployment, and all other challenges that we have. And that's a matter that we cannot budge on. And, Chair, I'm making a request. In relation to the representative currently who sits here, it makes sense because you cannot force him to give information. But there must be clear timelines that we put to start to give us the information that we need to be able to execute our responsibilities. Because if we do not do so, we're going to be accused that we don't fund money for the economy. And money is lying somewhere. So we're doing our work. And I don't want a situation where we're pushed to a situation where we apply certain acts of parliament to request information. We have not yet arrived at that stage. So I hope it will not even go there. And that's how I'm trying to register my disappointment, not on him, but on how the process was handled. Thank you very much.
Same thing that you were dissociating yourself from when I said it earlier. It's not about you as an individual. I think we must be fair. You know what, we are parliament. And it doesn't matter that you're serving a government that's led by our party. The constitution is clear. So firstly, as far as your military structure goes, let me explain why you can't answer the question. It doesn't explain why you are here in the first instance when it should have been the head of the DPCI if it's only he. I don't know where that comes from. There's no law. It might be a convention. There's nothing in the law. Remember, I was chair of justice when we processed that bill. There's nothing in the law that says that only Burning and Clemenza, who happens to be the incumbent, must be here. So it's not correct. So, you know, I don't want to bore you with the amount of energy and work, because the comrades deployed me to handle this matter. I've done. I'm looking at my emails here. Here, for example, is to Francois Butman's private cell number, 13th of March, giving you everything. The documentation, the program, sent at 10:07 on the 3rd of March. Urgent, sent again on the next day. You know, I can go on and on. So I don't know what more a committee can do, or a set of committees can do. You had plenty of notice. So I really think this committee has no choice. What choice have we got except to actually record our... Firstly, you see, it's not even that you're not able to give us the information. I think the point made earlier by MPs was there's no sense. Bongani is repeating the point now. There's no sense that the SAPS is taking this matter anywhere near as seriously as it should. That's the more fundamental issue. Let me just cite you a few things. Look, in a pretty banal incident I made, what's useful, just browse through it. Let me just show you something. So I think I need to say this. I was going to say my summary. Let's say it now. 2014, the Global Financial Integrity Unit says that abusive transfer pricing cannot and should not be legal because it robs developing countries in excess of $6.6 trillion. In just 2012, the developing world lost $991.2 billion. A GFI report states South Africa on page 9 suffered illicit financial flows over $122 billion between 2003 and 2012. South Africa moved into the top 10, it noted, right? South Africa's financial intelligence center has suggested that over the last decade, South Africa has lost in excess of 600 billion rands in illicit financial flows. GFI notes that these illicit financial flows sapped 5.7% of the GDP from sub-Saharan Africa over the last decade, more than any other region in the developing world. One could go on and go on, my brother. Now, some studies, France, who cares? Some studies say it's not as bad as that. Well, even if it's one round front and you're a tax man, it's one round too many. You, the SAPS, need more money. Right? This is one way of getting it. So in short, we are saying there's a bigger problem here and we have no choice but to say, Comrade John, you know, we must put this to the committee. And let's not be afraid to do our job. Our job is to say that in a very weak link, very weak chain, you're the weakest link. And that there's no sign, both by the behavior of the SAPS and what we got today, which is search, that you're taking this seriously. And we are going to write to the minister to register our complaint, which we'll CC to the SAPS head and to the chairperson of the committee that holds you to account in Parliament. It's unacceptable. And, you know, at this late stage in the very difficult 2 weeks ahead for this committee, our committee and other committees here, it's really unreasonable. It's a dereliction of duty, actually, given the obscene amount of wealth that is being stolen. So I think we must actually record our objection to the performance of SAPS here. You represent SAPS, not about you personally, my brother. So, I think, David, I suspected while you're asking, you might well have got a late night call yesterday and told, please go. Okay? The other thing to say is the one organization that didn't cooperate until I had a furious exchange with your chairperson on Monday night and said the police is not above the law. They're not above parliament. You're accountable. Then I got a phone call yesterday morning to say, Eunice, Eunice, calm down. So-and-so is coming. You mentioned your name, I think, right? But you were the only one. NPA came back to us almost immediately. This fellow, this comrade of mine, rang on a Saturday morning. Didn't you? He SMS'd me on a Saturday, right? And said, can you give me more documentation, right? The rest, well, there was some TH there, right, which you can't explain. And the AIGC is it here. It needs to be apologized to. I don't know how they got here and thought they're making a submission. So what I'm saying is, it's not acceptable, comrades. We cannot be treated with this disdain, not by you, but by the SAPS. So is there anybody who disagrees, and can you explain why you would disagree? Else.
Absolutely don't disagree, Mr. Chairman. But in addition, is there no parliamentary process that we should also follow to lodge a problem?
That because I thought about that while speaking, but I didn't know there was such a thing. Where's Frank? He's not here. All right. This is the committee chair from Trade and Industry. Eh? Can you deal with him, please?
Right.
This is the guy that gets all the emails and they seem to disappear. You know, it gives me a lot of problems, actually, because, you know, the incident, isn't that the guy? Yeah, DTI secretary. Can you deal with him, please? He's your chair, he's your secretary. Tani.
Yeah, I want us to give them a benefit of doubt. I don't want us to go to the point where we say, in terms of, because we've got the right to subpoena, we've got so many powers as parliament. We want to give them a benefit of doubt. We want them to go back. We give them 2 weeks. They give us information. At that point, when that information is not coming forth, then we can subpoena. Nobody will say, I did not have adequate time to apply my mandate. I was not sure what you wanted, blah, blah, blah. We will have, because we should not be agitated and react in a particular way. Let's first, we agree in principle. They go back, compile that information, and the specifics that we have requested. It's not the intention. It's here are matters that are before you. How are you dealing with those matters? There's matters before them.
The point not being made that we were subpoenaed, and they have no choice, they have to come. I think, is there some parliamentary complaint, like the speaker being required to, that's what I thought you were saying, Alf. The speaker, it's like the worst form of parliamentary condemnation of a structure of the state, an organ of the state. We don't care who you are. You must just answer to Parliament or change the constitution. Go and stand for election and change it. So it's not, no, we're not going to subpoena anybody. They just have to come. They have no choice. Their minister must come if they don't come. So the issue is that it's just not credible for us to sit here after all the work that's been done and we are told, hey, you know what, we're going to be soft on you about the hierarchy you have, that your internal arrangements. Right. So having said that, I will consult.
Can I provide guidance?
Yes,
of any use. I'm going. You know, in the past, there was a time where ADG of a specific department did not appear before my committee. First, I wrote a letter that rebukes his action and made it clear that I will not take any other person to present except himself. So as a chair, you have those powers. In an event that it's not adhered to, it's then that you request the speaker to write to the higher structures to do so. But as a chair, but because it's a department that is not accountable directly to us, I think that can be done in consultation with
the front. Also, it certainly strikes me, if I'm correct, notice my words, my brother, if I'm correct, Franco Bucum told me last week, Wednesday, that Mr. Inclemeza will be coming probably, or somebody senior, if I remember. Maybe I got it wrong in the fuzzy exchange of calls while I was fluish. It's possible on Wednesday evening I got it wrong. So actually, this thing you knew about well before, I think, the last minute call you got to come here. Having said that, let's move on. The issues that remain are now open to people to respond to, and then between Joan and me, we are not going to give you a state of the world address. We're just going to point to some things that we've agreed to so we don't cover the ground again. So let's move to SARB as an outstanding question, right? And then whoever else wants to comment. All of you here.
Thank you. The question was about VR land in Asia and Zambia. So, sorry, I'm a bit constrained on what I can say and cannot say, but what I will say is that it is correct that the inquiries are being made about the establishment of VR Laser, and that the purpose of these inquiries would be to establish whether what the exchange control implications are, if any. The third thing is that the inquiry has not been finalized. There is an exchange of correspondence between the lawyers of the parties concerned. And once it has been finalized, a decision will be made on the merits, on how to take the matter further. That is my response. Thank you.
Matashi asked a general question. What is happening about foreign residents in South Africa who are not citizens and who send money out of the country? To what extent does it constitute illicit financial flows? And if so, what is being done about it? That's more or less your question. Because, I mean, the poor Somali who's sending a few pennies to Mogadishu for bread and so on is hardly your target, right? Yeah. But even the...
Chairperson, I just want to cite an example.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago in East London,
yeah.
an illegal person within South Africa was found by the Hawks in East London with 12 million in
here. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
So they're making a lot of money and they don't account
for anywhere. No, of course, yes. That's the example I'm saying. I'm making it clear. Before somebody captures you saying, you know, the poor Somali guy who earns like 10 rand a day and sends 2 rands to Somalia, Mogadishu, we must tackle him when London hasn't been tackled, right? So, okay. You want to do it, you're right.
No, just to the South African police services. I mean, that's such a recent affair. I'm surprised that you were unable to even comment on it because it relates directly to a question and one which you have commented not on a personal level but as an institution in the media. But surely Parliament deserves to be responded to more than the media. Yet that response was made to the media, you see. So I think that's what, for me, that's the kind of thing I find disturbing, that there is no, not even a comment with a commitment to perhaps put further points in writing to us. Thank you.
Right. So, yes, can we respond to Comrade Mantashe and Comrade Jones? Comments? Anybody?
I think the question about foreign nationals remitting money from South Africa, a specific provision has been made for those that are in the country legally, that's in possession of a passport, to remit money. I think we must all understand that there's a lot of migrant workers in South Africa. There's people from other countries that's here legally, and they need to an extent, get the opportunity to send money to their families. There's provision for that. Obviously, if the money is earned in an illegal manner and then transferred in an illegal manner, that would constitute a contravention under the exchange control regulations as well as other legislation. But I think there's parameters within which they can operate. If they go outside those parameters from an exchange control point of view, where the Reserve Bank can be involved, and it comes to our attention, we will deal with them as if they've contravened and the necessary action will be taken. I don't know if that answers the question.
Anybody else wants to respond? SAPS, my friend.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm honestly very sorry to Parliament that my position here placed the DPCI in this situation. I just need to put on record that General Tlemeza did not forbid me to say anything here. I acted because it's against the policy of our office. Because whatever I say today will bind General Tlemeza. Because and it is basically from an office policy perspective that I cannot comment. But I have taken note of everything that the committee has said, and I will relay that to the General, and we will await the letter also from the office.
This matter, but just as a point for the members to understand, because I could be wrong. If I understand the procedures, Tandy, you might help me here, and Joan, an internal arrangement about who should reply to a parliamentary committee in this context doesn't prevail over the right of the parliamentary committee to have answers. I think that's probably true, but I'm not a lawyer. So, you know, with due respect, my brother, let's not pursue that matter. Right, so having said that, are people okay for us to tie up quickly in 5 minutes? So, John, you'll have your 5 minutes, I'll have mine, right? So what I want to suggest is that there seems to be, again, Trade and Industry has explained this. This is not a public hearing. And an organization, a civil society organization, appeared here and up to 20 minutes ago was expecting to make a submission. Are they still here? And then there's also a representative of a business sector who seems to have been misinformed that this is like a hearing. Now, if we invite, let's say, one NGO to make a submission of this, this is about looking at the state structures, to focus solely what is the state doing and what is Parliament's job to ensure it performs better and that we perform better in our oversight role. So to have invited one or two from one particular committee is something that's inappropriate. Then we will invite NUM, we've got to invite a Justice Network, and you've had those hearings. Secondly, I think our committees must agree. There are stakeholders that feel that they want to speak to all of us again, and then the thing that we must collect to do one another at the hearing. What we did is when you had those hearings, unbeknown to us until we saw it in the business day, but no, we respected it. We had no turf issues. Remember, I said, my sister, Chris, you're doing this work. It saves us the bother. We took your hearings and your report that Margot and whoever did, and we used that report. Now, if that particular stakeholder comes here, then we're going to invite all the stakeholders again. NUMSA and everybody's going to come back. So would the chair of the committee be kindly asked to sort that matter out? Yeah. One of our MPs on our side tried to help in that regard, but I think we must not mollycoddle people. The rules are the same, that there are a whole lot of stakeholders out there in the business community, in the NGOs, civils, who have a right to be here. So if it's the view now we must have a new set of hearings, then we must have it around a limited framework. We must say, you in the same parliament did these hearings, what is it new that we're going to do? So that's something we can think about, but I would leave it to the committee secretary from DTI and yourself to sort that matter out, because there's some very fundamental frustrations out there. As for somebody coming to give a report, if there's such a report, they can give it. It's fine. The chairs will look at it, and if we think it's of value to the committee, we'll distribute it, wherever it comes from. Okay? You know, it's fine. You know, not whoever, but I mean a legitimate South African or an international legitimate person, yes, you know. So as far as that goes, we leave it to you, Comrade Chair, and the Secretary of Trade and Industry to sort out that issue. I think, you know, there are very few things I have to say, because I think we need to first hear SAPs. But some quick things that I think we can more or less agree, we ask, the chairs will do a framework, but you're going to do the notes, right? Sakele and Margot, and where's our Mineral Minerals person? Minerals person is not here. They don't have a content advisor, Linda. Who is Nico? Is it Martin or Nico? Are you from?
I'm the research person for the Minerals Committee.
Yeah, so you here?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't make your presence felt. You separated yourself from the others. All right, okay, right. Okay, never mind. You've got a job too. So what you're going to do is organize what we've done so far. All the submissions made today, if they haven't come in electronic form, they must be here by 10 o'clock tomorrow. All the members will get all the documentation. However, we have to follow the normal. I don't think it's fair on our committee. So Alan will deal with finance. Then we're not going to allow in joint committee meetings questions why trade and industry failed to deliver or why minerals. That's not our issue, right? So those issues must be dealt with by the members concerned with their chairpersons and committee secretaries before the meeting starts. Are we agreeing on that? We're not allowing those questions. Anytime we have a joint meeting, we're not going to allow Comrade Joe people to tell us, in our committee, we didn't get it. So we're not going to allow it, agreed? Good. Then the issue to raise is, given the obscene amounts of money that are disappearing, even while we sit here, the overwhelming sense, I think, of the colleagues and comrades today is that there's, how do I put it, I don't know, there's like a consummate lack of communication, let alone consultation and cooperation on this issue. Bongani put it once again after we got back after, what was it, lunch, that 2 years ago we raised this issue. But of course we brought new parties in, the SAPS and NPA, but the rest of you have been here. And I really think that what we need to do now is something we've raised. I think we need to write to all the ministers concerned. Let's hear you out of this again. Write to all the ministers concerned, the deputy president and the president. The deputy president is the leader of government business. He's got his job to do. I started to think what cooperation will come given where government is today. The peasants in Mongolia know that, right? No, that's a fact. Right now there's a court case taking place that communicates where we are, but we're doing our job. I just think from my side, speaking for myself, the Panama Papers, 1,700 people, not a single person on the surface done anything wrong. I mean, for a country that has all these figures here, I mean, it doesn't match the reality. So I'm not questioning the FIC way. Anybody, but hey, I mean, which planet are we coming from? All 1,700 people are innocent. Well, it's hard to believe, but who knows? Maybe that's unique. Maybe we need a Nobel Prize for that, right? We're probably the only country, as Ibiso or somebody else said, that there are people who are in the Panama Papers, and absolutely everybody. Everybody is Albert Luthuli. Everybody is Desmond Tutu of the 1700. Everybody is Nelson Mandela and Walter Sisulu. Well, we shouldn't be so negative then about
our country. Mr. Chairman, may I comment before you go too far down this road? Because I happen to have a chat to SARS about this, and there is a presentation, and there are naughties there, but it's just not naughty in the fixing.
Oh, yeah. All right, see, that's a good point. You need to know what we mean by being naughty, eh? Okay, right, a good point. Elf, I wish I could say the same for your leader, but at least you... report your booty. No. Your leader is this committee. Hey, I know you're not going to agree. I'm not saying it's going to your report. I'm not interested personally. Why should I be? Convince me for what's legal and what's not legal. Okay? If I had my own way, we'll haul all these people here. PwC and so on. We need to look at a way. I think we have agreed on some formulation, Brandon. You can have a look at it. I think the FIC, you know, maybe you're right about confidentiality and your role and so on. But you too are subject to the Constitution, right? And maybe the laws, if they are favoring you to not divulge even to national treasury, or, you know, some of these things that you do, maybe I think we must look into that. And maybe there's a delicately worded thing with Frank Jenkins on Pala, the executive needs to apply his mind. There is something the Finance Committee has raised, my brother from SAPS. When we looked at something, the SARS were here, we said, look, if the FIC refers a matter, say, to you, SAPS, they said, you know, they're too diplomatic, worse than, you know, these ambassadors. Right? So they say, no, we do our job, implying that once they raise a thing with SAPS, they don't have the right of recourse to ask you, what have you done about it? They can't insist that you put a person into the NPA and into the court, but surely they should get a right of reply. We have recommended to Minister of Finance, and he consults with your minister to rectify that. They're not going to be superior to you because that will cause trouble, right? But they have a right of an answer. Any entity here that refers a matter to SAPS, surely my brother, like an individual, I open a case. Somebody stole my pen, my BIC pen. So I open a case. I can come to you and ask you, hey, I think it's Joan that did it, right? Because she was the last one to leave. You've got to reply, why haven't you spoken to Joan? Right? And so on, all you speak to. So I think that must be done. I must say I'm impressed with the NPA on the surface. In other words, you're able to solve it. But then you've got many skills that maybe some of your colleagues you don't have. So I'm slightly suspicious that things are... I mean, you were very good, actually. I thought the best input for us, it's original and new, came from the NPA, actually. And you raised some very interesting questions. That is our bell for sitting and we finished. On domestic tax avoidance, I agree with people. Now, this is a jumble of things. After we finish 2 weeks from now, I'll put my thoughts, she'll put a thought, Zed will put their thoughts. In the meanwhile, what we want is a strategy, an approach, and then a program. Elements of that that we more or less discussed but haven't sorted out that we're going to throw you for 2 meetings a year of the 3 committees. So the next one after this one in 2 weeks' time will be in August. 1 meeting of all 8 committees. Then each committee must have its own program which it reports on. So when we meet as a collective, they give us a 10-minute report. This is what we've done over the last few months since we met. Zed says, this is what we've done. And I'll say, this is what we've done. Or whoever wants to speak on behalf of the finance committee. So then we move on. So the idea is that we do our own work, but we exchange reports. So the reports are given to the respective committee secretaries, and they send it to us. So for example, we are about to write to the commissioner now, this afternoon, and say, can you report for half an hour on what you've done on illicit financial flows, notwithstanding the thing we've got now? Then we give you the report. When we do a DTA, we send it to you, to committee. So there's exchange of information. But we don't duplicate, but we complement. So there's no point you calling SARS to discuss the very same issue we've dealt with in our quarterly report. Or us calling you now, and the Cipro and the trade advising challenges or the minerals issues. So that is the broad trajectory of what we are saying. And it's a program up till at least 2019. So that we're not duplicating and we're moving forward. But we should also have one, let's say, workshop a year on the issues that come up. Like, you know, the sort of thing Alf just raised now. That you also have to understand a bit the technical issues about what qualifies to be wrong by the FIC doesn't necessarily qualify to be wrong for SARS, that sort of thing. Okay, Joan, and then we just throw it open and tie up.
I think you've said it all, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, right. David?
Just in tying up, I mean, one of the themes which perhaps we'd want to consider in our report relating to sort of cooperation between what appears to be a group of wasps in a jar trying to...
Now, no one implied that. That's your view, right?
Would we be in this situation, and it might be interesting to hear Willy Hoffman on this, had government not disbanded the Scorpion?
Oh. Right, you don't have to answer that. Don't be intimidated. Hit back hard. Tandy, don't you want to hit back hard? Yeah. All right.
Say anything. You know, David, I'm always seen as a person who...
Okay.
You see, David has done very well the whole morning, and now he starts. Just when you're about to go to discuss the division of revenue.
All right. Okay. So we've got 5 minutes. Nothing hysterical about. The vote's not going to be at 3. You can leave, right? So we've got... thank you very much to Trey. Thank you all. The only people need to remain behind are NT and SARS, okay? It's 5 minutes. So there are 2 issues, colleagues, for us. Comrade Mantashe, please go. You can fight with him later. Oh, that's putting it mildly. Thank you all for your cooperation. Yeah, okay. Frank, as you get older, I can see you getting a wry sense of humor. You are acidic. You are sarcastic. We read the newspaper. Excuse me, now that the finance is meeting, can we pass another resolution about France here, Thomas? He is behaving in a very atypical SARS manner. And we are disappointed in his old age that he's behaving like that. Yeah. Recently he said something that almost made me fell off my chair, Franz. I thought you had
no sense of humor, that you're just a typical bureaucrat. All you talk about is figures, facts and figures. When your chance is, you, can I have, what's this, pizza? You say, what's a pizza? 11 run, 71 run, 84, you mean that? Yeah, okay. Right, let's start about this thing. Firstly, colleagues, we've got the program. Next week, as you know, is the transformation of the financial sector. The program is clear. We need to change one or two things. The Nedbank CEO is going overseas and so on. We can do that. That's internal matters. Then we've got requests from the DA on national treasury and SARS and so on. Doesn't matter where it comes from. The truth is we have the study group said the same thing. So on SARS, I will ring the commissioner. It's the ANC, by the way, that raised these things. And given what's happened now, you look at our report on the fiscal framework, and what we are saying basically is this, that for this quarter, let's focus less on national treasury and its quarterly performance, and let's focus more on SARS. We start at 10, but we finish at 3. What we do then is we focus mainly on what are the objective and subjective reasons for the failure to secure the target that we had. Objective, obviously, we understand. But there can't be no subjective reason. I mean, subjective, where's my brother from National Treasury? Yeah, it's both about U.S. Treasury and them. You are team, right, in the law. In the practice, well, those things are having to be addressed. So, now, in order to facilitate that meeting, we also have some outstanding issues that we have to raise. We have no choice. There's the Jonas Makwakwa issue. We agreed that in this quarter, the SARS Commission will report back. There's a Hogan's and Wells or something. Lawyers are dealing with that matter. Hogan's and Lovers, right? Then the issue must be dealt with. Okay. We want to know where that process is, why, if it's not finished, why, and so on, without prejudicing a person's right to be seen as innocent until proven otherwise, right? So can we make that clear? Then the Symington story, that's in the public domain. It'll be irresponsible of Parliament not to raise those issues, right? We may disagree on why we're raising it across political parties and what our intent is, right? But hey, we have to do our job. So all of these issues, that's why we need a focus mainly on SARS. So I'm suggesting 10 to 11, it's on National Treasury, 20 minutes at most on the quarterly performance, 40 minutes on questions and engagement. Then from 11 to 3 with the half an hour break we had now, we look at SARS, right? And we also have to be realistic, right? That even myself as a chair, I'm picking this up, less than the other parties are, might show the class and racial structure of the economy and business, but this thing about withholding taxes, we can't run away from it. Bernard Werfer, the judge, and a very esteemed judge, right, is reported to have written to the minister in this regard. So we want to know what is going on there. We'd also like to know things like, you know, the staff. They keep disappearing. Now, we want to know the numbers of people that left, which divisions they've left from, and the racial demographics. Right? The class and racial demographics, the gender and racial demographics of the people leaving, and who's replacing them, and so on. And in particular, on illicit financial flows, we want to know who comprises this division, the years of experience, the expertise, what is the capacity they need, and so on. If people had only abided by this, I wish I could share the way I'd like to sometimes. I would never have allowed the way you guys to present yourself and the way the committee, colleagues here, spoke. But I would have said, no, on action, improving capacity, what are you doing? But they covered it in different ways. So this time it's going to be pointed. Now, we're not going to have members, I'm pleading now, we're not going to have members ask the same old questions. So, you know, it's ruled out. Like, no more is anybody going to ask about Dr. Baloyi's fiduciary role. It's not going to be allowed. We are tired and fed up, and that matter can be dealt with outside this committee. So, can I ask each member, please, to give me, so that it's not dominated by anybody, up to between three and five questions around these themes. But before we move on, is there any other theme on SARS that we want done? Because I need to write, my brother here and me have to do it today, or latest tomorrow morning. Yes, David?
Yes,
two themes. One is SARS' alleged failure to cooperate with the Davis Tax Commission, and the dates on which the Davis Tax Commission have approached SARS for meetings and how they have responded. So that's one theme. The other, Chair, I'd like to request that Luther Labello, the SARS communication officer, be present. I've got some questions for him.
Yeah, you see, I got a letter from Alf, that's a good thing, isn't it? Asking for a particular person that's quoted in the Mail and Guardian for having said something on Friday. Now, if I am correct, I'll check with, will you raise this question with Frank Allen? This is not our committee issue. We don't have the right to ask for a specific individual to come here. That person represents a structure. It's not a military structure. I know my brother there is very empathetic to SAPS, but I don't think he disagrees with me. Maybe he feels I shouldn't raise it the way I do. But that's personality differences, but the values are no different that we have, he and I, in this regard. So what I'm saying is, I thought about that, I was going to tell you over tea just now. I don't think we can do that. What we can ask for is an explanation from the commissioner for what that person is supposed to have said. But if individuals do have the right, which I hope they don't actually, because that's not right. Ultimately, you know, a person can say something and, you know, it's the accounting officer that's accountable. Even a deputy minister, by the way, says something and the minister can say, well, he's also appointed the president. But no, actually, the deputies are supposed to be the minister. I had an example of that. It was a reverse situation, Tandy, I think. I actually said something good and the minister was accosted by and said, no, but you see the deputy minister. He just does what he wants. Then he rang me and said, you were brilliant last night. You were brilliant last night, right? But you know, I couldn't say that because you can say things I can't. That's a different matter, right? So I would plead, actually, even if the rules allow it, does it really matter who said it? That the commissioner and his team. If the commissioner wants to bring him, that's fine. Therefore, David, I got that letter from Alf. It's good, David. I forgot Alf also wrote to me. Now, can I just suggest that the question, why don't you put your questions in writing anyway? Right, so you've got your 3 to 5 questions. Can members please, this is the advantage you people have, the DA. You have a full-time researcher or two. The ANC doesn't, actually. There's a guy that comes in and out. Yeah, you have a full, I don't have that, let alone you. I mean, a chair of a committee, 61 years old. You're 22 years old and you have that, right? So, hey, I have Zakele there, but he's not my... Right, so you get it? Right. So can you give all the questions by 2 o'clock on Monday? On Friday. Now, I don't interfere with the questions unless it's illegal. So I ask Frank to look at it by hopefully 5 on Friday or 10 on Monday. So you'll have your questions. Right. Anything else?
I'm just praying that we don't meet on Friday the 31st. I'll explain to you later on.
Yeah, that's Republic Day.
Yeah, for me.
Okay. Right now. Okay, next thing. Yeah. No, my first political demonstration at age of 16, for which I got arrested over a silly student prank. You know, Master Tole, unlike you with your aristocratic royal political tradition, I came from a low middle class, very nice family, which is well to do, right? I mean, you know, reasonable. And then we organized this demonstration on Republic Day. Oh, man, the police came to ask me who's behind it, and I thought, how? I was behind it, what do you mean? And that's what's... The police didn't come and interfere with me, thanks to the school principal, very good. I wouldn't have been political. I wouldn't have been... I'd have a happier life, Master Tole, reading my books and lecturing in sociology. Okay, right, can we come to the next one? On SAA, we've got a request from, you can guess... Well, actually, not you can guess, it's the deputy, you can guess, which wants a meeting that starts at 6 in the morning and finishes the following weekend at midnight on the SAA, right? So let's start with the thing. I'm sure Linda agrees with me. It's not newsworthy. We are not entertaining a question from a certain person, and I won't mention his name, to say, are you going to resign? That's out. Now, we're not making names, we're going to embarrass people. Yeah, fine. So basically, we need to go forward. Now, the documents that have been asked for, in my view, Alan,
send it all through to Cindy and tell her that if there are documents that SA rightly can withhold, then they must just give us an explanation. If there's a legal dispute about it, Frank will help. I'm saying Frank because he was seated there and asked us, sorry. Okay, the next issue is, here again, can each member give about 3 questions by Monday, say 5 o'clock? Tandy, we must speak to our own research unit here and try to get some help. Then, Antonio, you remember that list of questions, right? Can you just help us if there's anything outstanding from there, right? From the last time. What I'm suggesting we do, instead of getting a long input, we say, first let's start with what are the key aspects of your shareholder compact, where is it now? Okay? So they explain to us, Treasury has to be there, and they must explain what the shareholder compact is. SA must say, this is what we understand it to be, and then we engage with that. Then we say, fine, next issue is your turnaround plan or turnaround strategy. What is it exactly? We agreed that we're not just going to sit there and carp and criticize. We're also going to propose things. So it would help if we got the submissions by the Friday morning before, so that members have some time to look at it, but we can think of ideas on what should be in the turn, not that we expect. Thirdly, Antonio, can you pick up on outstanding issues that need to be answered and send it to the committee members once, you know, you look at your last report? Then I'm just suggesting a broad trajectory and then you tell me how we do it. Then the next thing we can do is then look at the quarterly report. We have to look at the filling in of staff. We had asked them to fill in the CEO. We are told to Sifiso, you know more about it, that instead of appointing both the norm in the corporate sector, you first appoint the CEO, because the CEO must have a hand in the appointment of CFO so that there's some chemistry between them and all that, eh? Yeah, so at least the CEO, where that is and so on. So we go towards, instead of asking generic questions, towards a structured thing. We tried it today, it didn't work too well. But, you know, that's difficult when you have many people. In our committee, we're just going to do it like that. Right, Sifiso and the Tani.
No, Chair, thanks, you have covered me. I wanted to talk about the filling of positions.
Chair, if you remember, in the past 2 meetings, I asked them about their skills program.
The what?
Skills program.
Yeah.
So we did not really...
Okay, we can look at human resource strategy. Can you note all of these things, Alan and Zakele, and we will draw it up, right? Yes.
They call it the cadets. What?
Sorry?
They call it the cadets program.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Alf?
Just in terms of the SARS one, I didn't hear any comment. Did you say anything about the refunds issue, which I think...
No, we said the refunds.
Did you?
Bernard Mepes, now the judge, has also put that on the agenda. He's written to the minister on Friday, I think on Monday it was in the city, business day, page 1, right? Good. Okay. Then having said that, we're done, right? I can't think of anything else. Now, we've suggested the first Tuesday when we come back, and can we start drafting the program? First Tuesday when we come back, I think it's the first week of May. Well, whatever, right? We're going to look at the Money Bills Act, our primary thing. And then to see with Cindy when they're going to deliver the rates and monetary bill. And that will be our second priority. And this next third sitting, Joan has agreed, by the way, can you tell our committee secret? Write in whatever languages you have to, but and check that he gets these things and send them to me. Okay. So, the committee secretary must know that the chairperson of trade has agreed that the third day of sittings on the transformation of the financial sector will occur on the Wednesday. She didn't want the Tuesday. So on the Wednesday, the transformation of the financial sector will sit from morning till night and finish it, right? But the Tuesday is the Money Bills Act if we can get the other committees going. Good. That's for now, and then we will deal with the program. We'll let you have it in the middle of next week. Thank you all.